Welcome to the world of Shabbos. My name is Reuven Brand, and I invite you to listen in as we share a powerful burst of Torah that will transform your experience of Shabbos. Whether we'll be swaying with a group of Majitzer Hasidim at Shalashuddis or cracking a Talmudic mystery, we'll be pursuing a journey to deepen and enrich our weekly Shabbos experience. Let's get started. Shabbos is also about space. Of course, as Rabbi Dr. Heschel in the Sabbath explained, Shabbos is a palace in time. It's Kedushas HaZman. But Chazal understood that for us to create the space for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to create the opportunity to connect and really focus on Hashem, time is too abstract. We need to also have makom of space. What occupies space? Things. Things, objects, utensils, items, those are the objects that occupy space. And that's why, perhaps, Muktzah, the laws of things, items, which are non-Shabbos items, that are out of bounds, so to speak, for the period of Shabbos, those are what enable us to keep that consciousness, that focus on the sanctity of Shabbos, the presence with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Of course, it's Kedushas HaZman, it's the sanctity of time, but we bring it into our lives, we live it through objects, through space, through physical items. To this end, Chazal gave us restrictions against non-Shabbat items which distract us from focusing on being present and living in the moment with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's important to note that there are different reasons why Chazal prohibited us to handle non-Shabbos items. And the fascinating thing is that these reasons are also going to explain to us both the development and also the application of these principles that we colloquially call Muktzah. If you look in the Rambam, in the 24th chapter of the Laws of Shabbos in Halacha Yud Beis and Yud Gimel, the Rambam gives us several reasons why it is that the sage is prohibited to handle things which are non-Shabbos items, which we'll define later on. The first one the Rambam tells us is that our rest on Shabbos, our experience of Shabbos, needs to be distinct from the weekday. It's got to be one in which we have real rest, that we're not puttering around and handling things that are not in the spirit of Shabbos, that we should just have rest of Laman Yanuach. That's number one. Number two, the Rambam says, in addition to having proactive rest, Laman Yanuach, number two, the Rambam says, if we're going to be handling things which are non-Shabbos items that might cause us to do work, we may end up doing work with them. And the third is that the Rambam says there are many people who maybe don't engage in craftsmanship and in creative activity during the week, and we want to create a distinct Shabbos, a Shvisa Hanikaris, something which is special to the rest of Shabbos, and therefore, the Rambam says, the Chazal introduced this idea of rest, of not handling non-Shabbos items. Comes along the Ravid, Rav Avraham David, Ben David of Posker, in his gloss on the Rambam, and he says, wait a minute, the Rambam, you forgot the main reason for the Isser, the restriction on handling items, and that's what it sounds like from the Gemara Masechet Shabbos, and that is that a person might carry something from a private domain into a public domain. So the later commentators are trying to figure out, why did the Rambam not focus on that? Well, the answer might be that the Rambam is trying to give us perhaps a more comprehensive and fundamental reason for this restriction. Because the truth is, if you look, there is a bit of a contradiction in the Gemara, because the Gemara in Shabbos and Kuf Chav Gimel sounds as though the introduction of these restrictions took place in the days of Nehemiah. In the days of Nehemiah and Ezra, when unfortunately the Jews who came back to Israel from Babel, who were not scrupulous and observant of Shabbos, they had to create stringencies and prohibit handling of certain vessels, kalim, these kinds of items that were both malachta le'isser, used for non-Shabbos purposes, malacha, and even they had so much stringency about things that kalim shemalachta leheter. But the crazy thing is, the strange thing is, the hard to believe thing is, that David HaMelech, when he passed away, the Gemara says in Shabbos Slamet Amud Beis, there was already a concept called an isser of muktzah. So which is it? Was it that muktzah, non-Shabbos items and handling them, was introduced in the days of Nehemiah in the second Beis HaMikdash, or already from the days of David HaMelech? So look in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav and the Alter Rebbe, and this is already alluded to in the Ritva, and the Aruch HaShulchan has a similar idea, that there were actually two phases of this gezeira of this restriction. The first gezeira already dates back to Moshe Rabbeinu, and that was when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, you have the authority to protect Shabbos, and Moshe instituted the takana of muktzah. Muktzah means katzeh, cuts, set aside, that it is has no utility. It's garbage. It's useless. It's not in the categories of Adam v'kelim ochlum amashkim. It's not people. It's not vessels. It's not food. It's not drink. It's, we could call it junk, things that don't have utility. It's not exactly from the laws of Kabbalah's Tumah, of things that are utensils for purposes of ritual impurity and purity, but it's similar. And those non-utensils, those things that are not food, they're not people, they are useless on Shabbos, and those are what we could call tier one, mukta machmas gufo, essential non-Shabbos items, and that was prohibited already in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's why when David HaMelech passed away, Shlomo HaMelech was wondering what to do with his body, because that body actually is mukta on Shabbos. However, says the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, similar to the Ritva, there was a second layer of introduction. And there, the Chachamim assered even vessels, even things that have utility. But since they were malachtam leheter, they might cause a person, we might, if we're handling those vessels, we might come to carry them out into Rishus HaRabim, like a pen or scissors, things like that, that are primarily, not exclusively, but primarily used for Isser. So these two stages of development reflect two different aspects of muktzah. The first is what we could call muktzah mamish, actual, fundamental mukta machmas gufo, things that have no use on Shabbos, dirt or sticks or money or an ID or pieces of shells that have absolutely no utility. They might have representative value, the money, but it doesn't have inherent value. That's mukta mamish. You're not allowed to use that and handle it at all. But then there are things called kli shemalachta l'iser, pens, scissors, things that you might do, those were introduced. We asked them later on, but there are going to be many nafgamina, many distinctions between these two categories. The most basic distinction, and you should just be aware that this is a basic overview of two main categories of mukta. There are many other categories of mukta, but we're only going to focus on these two general ones today. The first distinction is that mukta machmas gufo, essential junk, you know, bricks, dirt, stones, leaves, those things, you may not move them with your hands for any reason. But a kli shemalachto le'iser, a pen or a scissors or some other utensil which has utility but it's primarily used for a malacha, that you're allowed to move letzorach gufo or makomo for itself, meaning you need to use it for a Shabbos purpose. So let's say you want to take that pen and open a package of candy for Shabbos afternoon for Shabbos party. So that's going to be permitted. The Mishnah Berurah says it's better to use a knife, a kli shemalacht l'heter, but if you need to use a pen, that's also mutter, or a scissors. Similarly, if it's letzorach makomo, if you accidentally left something on the Shabbos table and you need to clear it off Friday night, and it's a kli shemalacht l'iser, if it's a pair of scissors or something like that, you're allowed to just pick it up with your hands and move it. So that's the first major distinction between, on the one end, mukta machmas gufo, essential mukta, which, by the way, is also going to include a busis, something which is subservient to that. Let's say you have a holder for mukta, and the only thing which is in that holder is your mukta item. Let's say you have a wallet, and the only thing in the wallet is money, and you put it in there before Shabbos, and you intend that it should remain there for the entire Shabbos, and there's nothing else in the wallet except for the money, the wallet is just like that mukta machmas gufo. And similarly, according to Rav Schechter, not everybody explains this way, but similarly, if you have a kli which is kol malachto l'iser, its only use is for iser because it is super expensive. Let's say you have a cell phone. So for many achronim, electronic devices, they're kli shemalachto l'iser, a vessel which is for a prohibited purpose, which is turning it on and turning it off, or an electric fan. But if it's something which is so expensive that you would never use it for a doorstopper or let a child play with it, then there's nothing else that you could ever use it for other than the iser activity itself, then it's similar to mukta machmas gufo, and you do not have the leniencies of moving it for its own purpose. You couldn't take that expensive cell phone and use it to open a door on Shabbos, even if you need it for that purpose, or you couldn't move it off the bed. Another two examples of differences is there's something called tiltel aruch. The Mishnah Berurah and Siman Shin Ches and Sifkat Yagibel talks about if you pick something up and it turns out that it's a mukta item or someone hands it to you, if it's a mukta mamish, tier one, you got to drop it right away. But if it's something that's a kli shemalacht l'iser, you can carry it and put it down in another place. And another distinction is if you can put a heter item, like a piece of bread, on top of your pen and then move it, that would be okay. But you can't do that with something which is mukta mamish. So these are the two main categories of mukta. There are many others. Now, it's important to know three things about the restriction of mukta. Number one, the restriction is moving it with your hands. But if you are not moving it, if you're just touching it, let's say a car, as long as you're not moving the car, you are not in violation of mukta. Opening the door of the car, that's moving the car. Even ma'atzim and enosh ha'meis, even moving one part of a mukta item is mukta, that's prohibited. But if you're not actually moving it, unless it's an egg or something that's going to move very easily, you're allowed to touch mukta. Number two, you're allowed to move mukta with your feet or with your body, with your elbow, with your shoulder. The iser of mukta, both tier one and tier two, is only to move it with your hands. And number three, the iser is if you are handling it directly. But if you're indirectly handling it, let's say you're taking a broom and sweeping it away, so then we have a rule that's called tiltul menatzah, that's indirect tiltul, indirect handling. It's mutter if it's litzorech davar hamutter, for the purpose of something that is mutter. So let's say you have a dollar bill that falls on the floor and you don't want someone to steal it. So you can't take a broom and sweep it. That would be indirect handling of the mukta for the purpose of the dollar. But if you want to sweep it out of the way because you want the floor to be clean, then that's going to be permitted. So number one, it's allowed to touch it as long as you don't move it. Number two, you're allowed to move it with your body. And number three, you're allowed to sweep it out of the way or push it with a utensil as long as it's for the purpose of something which is permitted on Shabbos. In addition, and we'll conclude with this, there are four key limitations when we allow, we have a heter for mukta. Number one, we'll call them the four D's. Number one, danger. If something is broken glass or could be a danger, a hezek for other people, you're allowed to move the mixer with your hands and get rid of it. Dignity. In the times of Gemara, they needed to utilize stones for a restroom because they didn't have toilet paper. Kavod abrios. If it's personal dignity, hygiene, you're allowed to move mukta. Number three, if it's disgusting, if it's graf shel rei, if the garbage is really foul, if it's overflowing in the kitchen, you can take it out and throw it out even though much of the garbage is mukta. And finally, for the fourth D, deceased. If somebody passed away, we have leniencies for mukta. So danger, dignity, disgusting, and deceased, these are all avenues of leniency, even in mukta mamish. But to summarize, you have mukta mamish, the fundamental original takana for Moshe Rabbeinu, that is all-encompassing of anything which is absolute useless. And then you have the klisha malach, the thing which is a vessel, it's just generally used for something which is prohibited. And there we have several leniencies, primarily for the thing itself. It's going to be used, if it's going to be used for a Shabbos purpose, or if you need the space, you need that area, you could pick it up with your hands and move it elsewhere. Thank you for joining us for this episode of The World of Shabbos. Please subscribe to this podcast and leave us a great review. For more Torah learning opportunities, please check out our Kollel's website, www.torahchicago.org.